That's a good opening for the idea of restoration of the Republic. We have Dr. Ron Paul on the scene now. I think you've probably run into him occasionally with the Gold Commission and some other things. Could you comment on Dr. Paul and his candidacy?
Well, let me go back to when I ran into him. Was it that, actually, I knew him a little bit before the Gold Commission. He was on the Gold Commission, obviously in the minority. And I was talking to some people in his legislative office, and I asked them whether the Gold Commission had had anything submitted on the constitutional questions surrounding the monetary system use of silver and gold. And they said no, and I said, well, my goodness, how can you possibly give, how can you set up a commission the purpose of which is to determine the role, if any, of gold in the system without going back to the fundamental principles of constitutional authority, constitutional control. They said, essentially they said to me, well, if you want to do that, do it. You know, write something for us. So I did. I produced about a 60, 80-page paper, basically an outline of constitutional principles, American history on the subject, submitted that to the Gold Commission. It went in at about the time the commission was winding up its work, so I never did get to testify. The thing went into a black hole of Congress, you know. God knows where it's stored, but the Ark of the Covenant, I guess, right? Somewhere. But Dr. Paul then suggested to me that I should publish that little study, the 60-page study. He thought it would be worthwhile to have it out there. Well, I took about 6 or 8 months more and turned it into a 300-page book, which I call Pieces of Eight. Pieces of Eight being the Spanish mil dollar, which is the U.S. constitutional dollar. It was adopted, actually, by the Continental Congress as the result of recommendation of Thomas Jefferson. And it's the dollar that's mentioned in the Constitution. And that sat around for about 10 years, and then I updated it more recently in a big two-volume book on the same subject. So that's my background. I've on occasion gone in and talked to Dr. Paul and his congressional offices about these issues dealing with primarily money, Federal Reserve System. And I can remember many years ago we worked on a bill to, wasn't actually to repeal the Federal Reserve System, but it was to limit it. So we've had contact back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
What interests me about him in this campaign is the tremendous groundswell of enthusiasm that he has generated essentially overnight has manifested not only in sort of talk on the internet, but the amount of money that he's been able to raise and from whom he's raising it. He's not raising it from the big contributors. He's raising it from average people. And I like to look at this as kind of the converse of the typical situation in surfing. You know, in surfing, the surfer waits for the wave, and then he rides it in. This is a situation where the wave has been waiting for the surfer. There's a huge amount, there's a huge undercurrent, groundswell, of potential enthusiasm for what Ron Paul is saying. And it's not because it's Ron Paul who's saying it. It's because of what he's saying. Ron Paul is not what I would call a charismatic figure that people are going to follow simply because he has glamour. Right? He's not kind of a John Kennedy. Right, the Camelot figure, who if you really look behind him, he's just, you know, like a Potemkin village, there's nothing there. With Dr. Paul, it's all substance. It's not so much personality. He's been in the House of Representatives how long? 20 years, something like that? A long time.
Mm-hmm, 20 years.
And he has had, to be blunt, he's had very little success. He's been in a minority, often a minority of one, or two, or three people. You know, speaking out on issues, especially the banking system, but he's been crying in the wilderness. So you can't look at him and say, well, he's a person that was just Speaker of the House, or he rose to a very high level of influence in Congress. Absolutely the opposite. He comes from a little district in Texas. He takes a lot of positions that, as far as the big media, as far as the political power structure, as far as the special interest groups are concerned, are anathema. They don't want to hear what he's saying. And yet, here's this enthusiasm. And this gives me a great deal of hope is the word, maybe, that the spirit of self-government is really alive in this country. Because here comes somebody essentially out of nowhere with no political backing, and he makes the right statements, and the wave now picks him up and starts taking him in to shore. Of course, the question becomes, what's going to happen in the real world of politics? He may raise a lot of money, and he may do well in the upcoming one. I guess Iowa and then New Hampshire, right? They're coming up first half of January. So we can see how he does in those primaries. But I think the reality is that unless he is able to get a lot of his people going to the precinct caucus meetings or whatever in the Republican Party throughout the country, the party machinery is going to squelch him at the convention, no matter how much popular enthusiasm there is behind it. I don't think they're going to let him become the Republican Party nominee if they can stop it. It is conceivable that if he could get enough people as delegates, it might be a different story, but that's pretty complicated business. Huh? His other alternative is, are the Republicans turn him down, and he accepts a nomination from the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party. I mean, he could be nominated by three or four different little parties. They could all accept him as their nominee for one reason or another. And the advantage of that is, of course, he would have ballot access in many states. The Republican Party has ballot lines, number of states. Constitution Party, I think they're 30-something states, 30-something, 35 states. So that would be the next step. And I would like to see him do that so that his issues, our issues, American people's issues, become issues in this upcoming campaign. I mean, imagine if it's Giuliani versus Clinton, Republican-Democrat. You got a fascist and a socialist from New York, right? What kind of issues are going to be discussed there? Right? Now, at the present time, I guess Dr. Paul says that he's going to continue to be a Republican, but things change, circumstances change. And then I take one further step. Sure, it's possible that he could be nominated. Possible. He could be nominated on the Republican ticket. Possible that he could run on Constitution Party platform or Libertarian Party or what have you. It's even possible that he could be elected. I just think it's not likely yet. You don't have really enough people that understand what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if he's got enough money, maybe he's got enough media, it's conceivable, especially given the opponents. I mean, if you were running against Giuliani and Clinton, I mean, that would be a dream election, because you would certainly have black and white if you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So it is conceivable, but I think we're going to require a little bit more education than we have time between now and the election in 2008. But it could be the beginning. And 4 years of Giuliani or Clinton, if that doesn't sour the American people on the continuation of this regime, I don't know what would. I mean, they've got to be, either one of them has got to be worse than even Bush. Right? And whether or not it was Ron Paul that ran in 2012, it would be somebody running on what is now the Ron Paul platform.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at it this way. Even if he doesn't succeed in getting a nomination or in getting the presidency, he has started something going that will have a life of its own. Because people now see it can be done. We're really not controlled by this one-party machine that we have here in this country, one party with two faces. Here somebody comes out of nowhere. The Internet gets us around the media. The Internet enables him to raise huge amounts of money. So the monopoly of propaganda, as it were, that the other side has always had, they've lost. That's gone. The monopoly of money that they've always had, that's lost too. Because yes, they have the big contributors. Yes, they have as Clinton, the reports I've seen, where Clinton was getting all this money from the Chinese community. $1,000, $1,500 from Chinese dishwashers. And then when people went to check on the FEC reports, to see where these contributors live. They couldn't find them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That isn't necessary for a Ron Paul-type campaign because he's got the huge groundswell, you know, 10 million, 20 million, 50 million people giving $100 is going to overwhelm anything that the other side can get from the big donors, because the big donors, of course, are limited in how much they can give. So all of this, in a sense, conspires in the right direction. You've got a fellow talking about self-government. You've got a fellow talking about constitutionalism. You've got a fellow talking about limited government. Specifically, he's talking about reforming the Federal Reserve System. He's talking about reforming this insane foreign policy that we have. I hope he would take the next step and start talking about revitalizing the militia. And then he would have all the elements necessary to begin restoring self-government to the country as soon as someone such as himself were elected. And if he can't be, if it can't be done this time, God knows we'll do it the next time.
Mm-hmm.
But he has proven that it is possible. And I think that's the great contribution right now. He's proven that it is possible. And people just have to be, have to recognize that we can't be like spoiled children and expect that we're going to get it all the first time. This is probably going to take a little bit more sweat and a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
But we now know that that sweat equity, as they say, can result in what we want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not pie in the sky. And it was pie in the sky. Let's face it. Before he came out of nowhere, it was pie in the sky. That's how quickly things have changed. If you had talked a year or 2 years ago about seriously challenging the political monopoly of the Republican and Democratic parties, you were laughed at. Can't be done.
Right.
Right? And now all of a sudden, yeah, it can be done.
Yeah.
And it can be done. The fascinating thing to me is it can be done with a candidate who is not one of these charismatic leader figures. Right? It's not a John Kennedy. It's not a guy with, you know, bouffant hairstyling.
Right.
It's not someone who's been in, who's been in the media's eye. It's not someone who's been a mover and shaker in Congress. Guy from some place in Texas where we can't even name the county where he lives. And he represents something bigger than he is. Bigger than this whole electoral process really is, because that's all directed towards the substance, the restoration of, quote, a free state, if you want to, you go back to the Second Amendment. I'd like to go back to the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Now, a restoration of a free state. What could be a bigger idea? What could be a better reason for a political crusade?
Yeah.
Well, and it's working. That's the amazing thing. It's catching on. The enthusiasm that's out there is not something that has been manufactured by Fox News or by CBS.
Right.
Right? It's there. It's actually real.
Yeah. Well, I saw this young lady talking about Ron Paul on YouTube. She looked like she's about 20 years old, and I went, wait a minute, there's something going on here, because that's not what people 20 years old did 5 years ago.
No, well, you know, one thing about all of this, I've heard from many people say, oh, you know, the American people have been dumbed down, especially the youth. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. The question is how much of this stuff they believe that they're being fed.
Uh-huh.
But they have to recognize, and I think they do recognize, that if some significant changes are not made soon, their lives are going to be, undesirable.
Right. Totally.
Or worse. You could pick up some other words. Mm-hmm. But at least undesirable. And they have 40, 50, 60 years to live, and maybe longer.